Well, thank you, Pastor. Take your Bibles to the book of the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. John chapter 10. And thank you so much for all the great singing and the playing of the instruments today and worshiping God here in the house of God. And then I must say it was worth the drive from Rowlett, Texas to Fort Worth, Texas, just to hear Dr. Raymond Barber pray. I just wept tears of joy. I just love to hear the man quote scripture and pray. And I've got he called me and I was unable to pick up, and he left a message and he prayed a prayer on my phone, and I would never delete it. I delete a lot of stuff, but I'm not, 'cause I get a little bit down and need a little bit of encouragement. I can listen to Raymond Barber pray anytime I want to. And so that was worth the drive over here. Amen. Connie, why don't you stand and turn around and let the folks meet you. There's those who have not met my wife. This is Connie. And we've been married now for 51 years. And we have three wonderful children, six awesome grandchildren. Many of you know the story of Allie. Our middle granddaughter was killed in a horrible ATV accident in 2017 at the age of 16. And I thank God for the hope. I preached a funeral this past week of a 62-year-old man that died of a heart attack. And we never know. You may live to be 100. You may not live to see the sun go down tonight. You never know, but you can be ready. And the man that I preached the funeral for Tuesday was ready. Had a great witness and a great testimony. And our Allie was killed in a split second, instantly. When a pickup truck hit the back of the ATV at 70 miles an hour. And Allie immediately was in the presence of the Lord. And a remarkable testimony. 16 years old, did more living in 16 years than most people do in 60 years. And she's still having an impact and influence on people's lives, even all these years later. Her younger sister, Sarah Beth, was in the vehicle, and she was seriously injured. They had to actually cut her and the other girl. The other girl was driving. They weren't on the road. They were not on a shoulder road. They were in a field. And the guy driving 70 miles an hour rammed in the back of the ATV. And all three of them should have been killed instantly. But God had a plan. We don't always understand it, but we're going to trust God. And I told somebody today, a guy like Hugh Hefner, pervert, started Playboy magazine, lived to be 89. And my granddaughter lived to be 16. So a lot of things don't make sense, but you trust God. Amen. God's never made a mistake. Amen. And God's never said oops. Amen. But our Sarah Beth was remarkably and miraculously spared her life. And that girl loves the Lord and on fire for God. She's an amazing testimony. We call her our miracle girl. She is a true miracle. But it's so good for us to be here. It is like we do feel like this is family. We've been coming here for so many years, and you've always been so kind to us and treated us so well. To welcome us to come here. I preached for Dr. Barber and then for Dr. Weaver and now for Tyler, your current pastor, for several times now. And if I don't ever come back, it won't be my fault. It'll be his fault, all right? He's putting the pressure on him right now. But I'll just say, I love coming here. And I always feel at home. I mean that from the depths of my heart. So, having said all that, let me tell you this. I'm getting ready to preach a very controversial message on a controversial subject. Now, Tyler's not a bit worried. And the reason he's not worried, because he trusts me. He has confidence. I would never hurt him. I would never hurt this church. But the subject that I'm going to preach on this morning is about eternal security. And this is for sure a controversial doctrine. But since we have the Bible to guide us, we need not fear to study it. In John chapter number 10, let's read verses 27 through 30. Are you ready? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Is often misinterpreted, misconstrued, and misunderstood. And I want to show you this morning why I, as a preacher of the gospel for over a half a century now, why I emphatically preach that once a person repents of their sin and receives Jesus Christ, they can never, ever again be lost. Amen. That it is an absolute impossibility for that to ever happen. There has for centuries been debate and dispute and disagreement about once saved, always saved. And in order to, like I said a while ago, let's let the Bible settle it for us all. But in order to understand eternal security, the first thing we have to do is understand salvation. And this is where a lot of people get messed up on eternal security and once saved, always saved, because they clearly do not understand what it means to be saved. The Bible declares in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 and verse number 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Many of us who've been in church a long time have heard preachers again and again give us the definition of grace. It's the unmerited favor of God. It's something we don't deserve. People all the time, especially in this generation, give me, I deserve this, I deserve that, and give me this, and give me that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, young people, if we got what we deserve today, all of us would be in hell. Why do we need to be saved? The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that we've all sinned. Every one of us have sinned. I'm a sinner. Your pastor's a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of God's glory. We've all sinned. And then the Bible declares in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And it's talking about the second death. It's talking about separation from God in a horrible place called hell. The wages of sin is death, but then it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we're saved by grace, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace through faith. Faith, Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Salvation is a gift. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. And we all deserve to go to hell. But God loved you and God loved me. And God sent his son to die on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago to pay for our sins and to give us the gift of salvation. It's a gift. And what do? For a gift, you simply receive the gift. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. If I call you up here to the platform and I give you a $20 bill and I say, I just want to give this to you as a gift. Well, first of all, what do? You just simply accept it. You take it, you receive it. It's a gift. But then if you say, oh, wait a minute, Brother Tim, I'll tell you what, I'll wash your car this afternoon for that $20. Well, then it ceases to be a gift. I'm giving it to you. And God gives us salvation. You can't earn it. You cannot work for it. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Listen to this. Not by works. So listen to this. If you don't work to get saved, then nothing you can do after you're saved can cause you to be unsaved. A gift. The gift was paid for. God's salvation that his son paid for. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. He was bought on the old rugged cross. Your salvation was bought and paid for. Amen. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the latter part says, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, which our young lady just sang about being redeemed just a moment ago. The psalmist said in Psalm 51, after he had sinned against God, after he had committed adultery and lied and stole and cheated and even had the woman's husband killed on the battlefield. And now he's been confronted with his sin. And he cries out to God and he says, restore unto me thy salvation. He didn't say, I need to get saved again. No, he restored the joy of thy salvation. That's where a lot of Christians get in trouble. They lose their joy. They get away from God. They backslide on God. And then at that time, you probably don't feel saved if you're so far away from God. And let me tell you something, friend. You cannot, and I'll deal with this again in just a few moments, but you cannot continue in sin and then really actually think that you're saved. You may never have been born again. That's where you may need to check up. We'll see that in just a moment. If you could be saved by works, then yes, you could lose your salvation. But it's not works. It's grace. And it's forever. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that a great passage of scripture for the believer? He said, I will in no wise cast out. When I was first called to preach, my dad was my mentor. And my dad was a Baptist pastor, a preacher for almost 6 decades. And my dad was like Raymond Barber. And my wife would tell you, memorize scripture all the time and quote scripture all the time. He was dying of colon cancer. I was at the house and I had to get up, and it was about 4:30 in the morning, 4:45, and I needed to go to the restroom, and the light was on up in the front room. And I went up the hallway, and there was Dad sitting at a little table, and he's got these memory cards. He's dying of cancer, and he does about a few months later, he's in heaven, but he's sitting there and he's memorizing Bible verses. He's 86 years old and he's dying and he's still memorizing Bible scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. My dad told me, son, you need to memorize scripture. Well, one of the verses that I memorized early and means so much to me, and as a believer it ought to mean so much to you. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
That ought to make you shout. He named all of those things. And then, just in case you had any other questions about it, he said, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh my, what a promise. What a promise from God. Many gifts only last a while. Clothing wears out. Jewelry gets lost. Your car rusts out. And you can actually lose all of them. But the gift of salvation is forever. When you're saved, you are born into the family of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And my friend, it is as impossible to be unborn spiritually as it is to be unborn physically. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. We have to understand the biblical view of sin. To have genuine fellowship with God, we need a genuine relationship with God. Sin causes broken fellowship. And if you don't receive the gift of salvation, your sin will separate you from God forever and ever in a horrible, horrible place called hell. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, in flaming fire. Listen to this, friend. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Sin separates you from God. Sin keeps you from having a right relationship with God. And if you don't get saved, your sin will separate you from God for all of eternity in a horrible, horrible place called hell. But you don't have to go to hell. You can be free from the condemnation of your sin. If you reject God, if you slam the door in God's face, if you say no to Jesus, and you reject this great gift of salvation, then you will spend eternity separated from God forever in this horrible place called hell. But God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to be saved. He loves you.
Amen.
He loves all of you. There's no one in all the world that I could not go up to if I had an opportunity and walk up and roll up to them in my wheelchair and say, God loves you and Jesus died for you.
Amen.
There's no one. That's why the doctrine of hyper-Calvinism is in great error, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, aren't you glad God said whosoever?
Amen.
I'm a whosoever.
Amen.
You're a whosoever.
Right.
It doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what your past has in it. If you will come to Jesus today, God will save you.
Amen.
And make you his child forever. Here's the hard part for the believer. If you're saved and you get out of the will of God, you will face the chastening hand of God. And this is what this is a part of a doctrine a lot of people don't want to talk about. If you've been born again, you're God's child, and God will discipline his children. God will discipline you. You love your child. You want them to do right. And when they do wrong, you discipline them. And sometimes it's even necessary to spank them. I know that the child psychologists today don't believe in that. But when I went to school, they had a board of education that was about an inch thick, had holes drilled in it. And it stung. My dad had a belt. My mom had a switch. And they both worked. They loved me. And they'd always tell me that. Son, before they spanked me, they'd say, son, The reason I'm doing this is because I love you. They love me a lot. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you, because this is where a lot of people get hung up. Some declare that if they believed in the doctrine of eternal salvation, once saved, always saved, then they could get saved and they could live however they wanted to live. I've heard it more than once. You Baptists believe you can get saved and go out and live like the devil and still go to heaven. As a Baptist preacher for over 50 years, I have never taught that, and I've never heard a Baptist preacher teach that. Not one time in all my life. You get saved, you don't have a desire to live like the devil. Any other teaching than a grace salvation is a work salvation. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God, if you're saved, you're his child. And if you get away from God, he's going to speak to you. How's he going to speak to you? It might be through a message from your pastor. It might be through the testimony of a Marine who was saved at a young age, but as a teenager got away from God and ran from God and ran from God. And I heard messages and testimonies, and five of my high school friends were killed in car wrecks, and God would speak to me again and again and again. But I kept running until March the 8th, 1971. 1:30 in the afternoon, and I stepped on a 60-pound mine, the running was over. God knows, I firmly believe today that if I had not gotten my heart and my life right with God, that I would not be here today. I believe there is a sin unto death for the believer. That you can say no to God, you can keep rebelling, you can keep running. You're saved? Yes, you're saved. But you keep running and running and running, and he tries to speak to you, and he deals with you, and you keep saying no, then he will take you to heaven. I believe some people go to heaven prematurely because they would not get right with God. So the main thing is to know that you are saved. Connie's testimony. If you would have met Connie when we first got married, if you would have met her even before we got married, she was unbelievable. Sunday school, choir, everything. Involved in church, never missed church. And if you looked at anybody and said, by looks, that person there is saved. We're having an old-fashioned revival, and a preacher from Myrtle, Mississippi is preaching, and I didn't know it, but I could tell something wasn't right, something was wrong, and what it was conviction. And she realized one night that she was not saved, and she couldn't stand it, and she liked to knock me down getting out into the aisle, into the altar. She had to get it settled. Pride is going to send a lot of people to hell. There's going to be so many people in hell because they had too much pride. What are people going to say? What are people going to think? Man, I've been a member of the church for 30 years. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I sing in the choir. What are people going to say if I go and realize and I understand that I'm lost and I've never been saved and I get saved? I tell you what they're going to say. They're going to shout. They're going to be happy for you. They're going to rejoice with you. We don't want you to go to hell. But you know there's going to be a lot of church members in hell. You remember the verse when Jesus said there'll be many that'll say, Lord, Lord. Huh? Who is that? That's not the world. That's not the abortionists and the pornographers And the homosexuals and the prostitutes and the drugs, that's nothing. It's the church members. Lord, Lord, I did this. I did that. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, hey, if you were saved and then you lost your salvation, he would have to say, I once knew you, but I don't know you now. He's never said that. Amen. If you're saved, you're his child. Amen. I have three children. I love them all. Our three children are all three as different as can be. And I love them all. If one of my children was to get in trouble, I'm talking serious trouble, and they ended up in prison, I would not disown my child. I would not stop loving my child. I would never, ever say, well, you're no longer my child. Number one, just because I said it wouldn't make it so. My friend, if we love our children that much, how much more does our Father, our Heavenly Father, love us? No. Those people, he said, I never knew you. Connie got it settled. 1 John 5:11. We quoted 1 John 5:13 and verse 12 a while ago, but 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Amen. And this life is in his Son. Yes. Saved, 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 and I know that I am. Yes. I'm so glad that I know that I am. Yes. When they were building the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, there at the bay, we've been across it. We were traveling evangelism in our fifth wheel trailer and our four-door pickup truck. We were in California several times, went across the Golden Gate Bridge several times. It's a beautiful area. San Francisco is actually a beautiful city, but the perverts and the liberals have ruined it. It's a beautiful area of the country. Now there's so much wickedness and so much evil, and people are fleeing. They're running from it. They don't want to be there. But the Golden Gate Bridge, it opened in 1937. They had put a budget for the building of the bridge. They had put a time frame for the building of the bridge. But almost immediately, the budget was overrun, and the time frame was nowhere near what they thought was going to be, because men were falling to their death while working on the Golden Gate Bridge. 19 workers died building that bridge. There was an engineer who designed a safety net. And they built it, I think it was $100,000, which was a ton of money back in those days, a lot of money today, but a lot of money back then. But they built, they designed and they built this safety net. And they put it under the work area, and immediately work production began to go back to where it was supposed to be. Lives were saved. Work production increased more than 25%. Workers called the net the halfway to hell club. Many of them fell from working, but they were caught in the net. Well, friend, it's hard. If you're not for sure you're saved, if you all the time doubting your salvation, and you don't know that you know that you know that you know, then you're not going to be much good to the cause of Christ. How are you going to tell other people about Jesus when you don't even know for sure that you're saved? How are you going to do that? Inside, you're always got this fear that you're going to fall into hell and that you're not really saved. You've got to get that settled, friend. That's no way to live. That's no way to be. God doesn't want you to be like that. You say, Tim, are you telling me that I can know 1,000% for sure? Absolutely 1,000% for sure. Again, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Two key words in 1 John 5:13 is the word that you may know, not think so, not maybe so, not hope so, but that you may know. And then the word have. Present tense. Right now, already. That you may know that you have eternal life. We used to sing that old Southern gospel song, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Well, part of that song's right. One of these days we will have a new body. Thank God, I'm looking forward to my new body. But my friend, we've already got a new life. When you got saved, you got eternal life, and that's all the life that you're ever going to need. People say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a good time. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You can have a good time right now. But if you're not sure, then you're miserable. If you're not sure and you got doubts, then you don't have the joy God wants you to have. You've got to get it settled once and for all, forever, to know that you know that you know. If the trumpet was to sound right now, and the Lord was to call his bride home, if the trumpet was to sound at this moment, there would be an empty wheelchair sitting on this platform. Never been an astronaut, but one of these days, I'm going to be a was not. I'm leaving out of here. I know that I'm God's child. I know that I'm saved. I know that I've been born into his family. And my friend, you can know that as well. Let's read those verses again in John chapter number 10 as we close this morning. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father. And you talk about a safety net. We got a safety net. We got a double safety net. We got a triple safety net.
Amen.
We're saved by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
We're sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When God saved you, he put the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Bible says we're sealed by his Spirit. Nothing can break that seal.
Amen.
Your destination is the New Jerusalem. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are going to see to it that you reach your destination. You say, well, Tim, I got saved, and I decided I don't want to go to heaven after all. It's too late. You're going anyhow. You might as well start enjoying it. We got a safety net. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Wow. And then the last verse, verse number 30, I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice. Do you hear God's voice today? Do you hear God's voice on Monday? Do you hear God's voice on Tuesday? Do you hear God's voice on Saturday? Do you hear God's voice? When those songs are being sang, Love Lifted Me, does that mean anything to you when you're singing Love Lifted Me? Do you get to really sing that with knowing that you know that you know that love lifted you? God's love lifted you. But if you don't know, then you're miserable. You're a mess. You need to know. Today could be the greatest day in your life. For those that don't know, you never professed to be a believer. You don't know what it means to be saved. You've never been born again. Today can be the greatest day of your life. God loves you so much, and He wants you to be saved. And again, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what lifestyle you've lived. You may have lived the most wicked, horrible lifestyle that you could ever imagine. God loves you today. And Jesus died for you. And today, your life can be changed by the power of God. You're saved, or if you thought you were saved and you made a profession of faith, but you're just not sure. You say, Tim, are you trying to confuse me? If you know you're saved, there's no preacher anywhere that can confuse you.
Amen.
You're basing your salvation. He said these things in 1 John 5:13 again. He said, these things have I written unto you. What things? What things did he write? The word of God. That you may know. I thank God for a salvation that produces feelings and emotions. I wouldn't give you a nickel for salvation that didn't produce some feelings and some emotion. But friend, we're not saved by our feelings. We're not saved by our emotions. Feelings change. Feelings fluctuate. Feelings come and go. The word of God never changes. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And you can put your faith and you can put your trust and you can put your confidence in the word of God. If God says it, it's so.
Amen.
The bumper sticker said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles. That's a good bumper sticker, but the truth of the matter is, it's settled whether you and I believe it or not.
Amen.
It's still the truth. And today, you can get it settled. According to the word of God. You can leave here today with joy in your heart, singing, saved, saved, saved. Love lifted me. Would you bow your heads this morning? And I ask that no one move, no one leave the building. Just those that are going to come and sing and play for our invitation. They're coming very quietly and very reverently. I want to ask you something today. No one talking to anyone. No one disturbing anyone, please. I want to ask you something. I want you to be real. Do not raise your hand right now just because you've always raised it. And do not raise your hand today because someone around you raises theirs, but because you're being real. Honest. Maybe for the first time in a long time, you're being really honest. How many would say, Tim, I know. I remember the day when conviction came to my life and I realized I was a sinner and I repented of my sins and I received Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Tim, I'm saved. I know I'm saved and I am not the least bit ashamed of it. Let me see your hands today. Hold them up. Oh, what a sight. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hands. Beautiful sight. You can take them down. And again, Christian friend, don't ever be ashamed or embarrassed for a preacher to ask you that question and for you to give testimony. And there were some who could not raise your hands. And I want to tell you right now that I appreciate you being honest. Because you could have raised your hand. When others did, I wouldn't have known the difference. But you would have. And God would. And in a moment, I want you to let me pray for you. But before I do that, how many would say, Tim, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. But the truth of the matter is, I know there's some things in my own life that are not right with God. There's some things in my own life the Lord is not pleased with. I'm out of the will of God today, whether it be a what you consider a small sin or a full rebellion away from God, your life messed up. You say, Tim, there's some things in my life that are not right with God. Pray for me today that I could have these things right between me and God. Let me see your hands this morning. Hold them up high. Numbers and numbers and numbers of hands. You can take them down. And my friend, today is the day to do something about it. It's not enough to raise your hand. That's part of it, acknowledging it, but you need to take it a step further. And when we sing in a moment, I'm going to ask all of you that just raised your hand to leave your seat. Come and find a place around these front steps, around this old-fashioned altar this morning. You're afraid to come to yourself? Ask someone to come with you. Someone's in your way in the seat. Nudge them. They'll move over. They may be wanting to come too. But you come today. And the very first word, when I have you stand, just get out of your seat. So I've got to get this right with God. I wonder if there are those today who say, Tim, truth of the matter is, I thought I was saved. I made a profession of faith when I was a little kid. But I have to be honest with you and with God that I've had doubts. And there have been times when I don't have much joy because I don't know 100% for sure. And I want to know. I don't want pride to send me to hell. Tim, I want to know. How many would say that this morning? I'm not for sure. I know I made a profession, but I'm still not 100% for sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you just slip up your hand right now? Make sure I see it. You, God bless you. Anyone else, God bless you. Anyone else? And bless you, man. No one's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to intimidate you. Anyone else? Listen, that was three adult ladies. Ladies, I'm going to ask you to come today. But instead of coming to kneel, one of our pastors will be down front here. Workers will be here. Don't come and kneel at the altar. Come to one of them. And they'll have someone. If you're a man, we'll have a man. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady. Take the word of God and show you how you can leave here today knowing 100% for sure. If you die before the sun goes down tonight, you'll be in the presence of God. Now, the most important question, where will you spend eternity? You've never been saved. Your life has never been changed. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. I'm not talking about being a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a Church of Christ, Assembly of God, a Catholic. I'm not talking about being a Mormon. I'm not talking about any other religion or any other denomination. You say, Tim, the truth of the matter is, I'm not 100% for sure if I died right now that I would go to heaven, and I certainly don't want to go to hell, and I want you to include me in that prayer. No one looking but me and God. Tim, include me in that prayer. Let me see your hands. Hold them up high. Hold them up high. Make sure that I see them, and then you can take them right back down. Wow. You can take them down. Several hands raised. I count at least five. There may have been more than that. Adults. Folks, this could be the greatest day of your whole life. And like I just said to those a moment ago who thought they were saved, but they've had doubts, I want all of you that just now raised your hand, instead of coming and kneeling, to come to one of our pastors or one of our workers here and don't get lost in the shuffle. Come directly to one of them. And you can leave here today with the assurance of salvation in your life. Father, I pray you would do your work as only you can do. Save the lost. These that are doubtful that they leave here today knowing. And then those that are out of the will of God, may they lead the way in this invitation. May they be the first to come. Would you stand to your feet all over the room? Everyone's able to stand. Christians, you begin to lead the way. Come on, while we sing right now, just sit out of your seat. Come quickly right now. If you were serious, come on. No hesitation.